Welcome to the teaching and preaching ministry of Reverend K.C. Williams. The word is taught in simplicity, yet with power. As a deer panted for waters, let your soul long for God's word. Sit back, relax, and listen to God's word. Now, Reverend K.C. Williams.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you because instruction is life. Thank you for your word never ending. Thank you because we are changed. Thank you because we are not living here the same, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for helping my voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Alright. So the first question here says, sir, is there any amount of money a believer will have that it will become sinful? Is there any amount of money a believer will have that it will become sinful? Now, it's quite a funny question, but I think it needs to be addressed. Is that okay? I mean, is this a good question? So, I was trying to understand what he meant by this. Then I asked him, now making reference to what the chat we had, and I asked him he should explain where it's coming from. He answered that the Bible said that it's impossible for a rich man to enter heaven than a camel to go through the eyes of a needle. I said, okay, now I see where you're coming from. So, one more time, the question is there an amount of money a believer will have that it will become sinful? Now, the answer is capital what? No. Are you here? But thank God he mentioned the scripture, and that is why I want us to be careful how we quote scriptures. You don't quote a verse and leave the preceding text of that scriptures. You don't just quote a particular verse and leave the background stories of that. So I will give an insight to that scripture, then that will help us to understand, not just about the question, but also the scripture. So in Matthew chapter 19, verse 24, alright, so that's the scripture the young man quoted, and he said, and again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, you could generally imagine how big a camel is and how small the eye of a needle is. So the eye of a needle is actually supposed to be that place you put a thread in, okay? So that's what it means. So it connotes impossibility. Am I communicating? So in the real sense, the scripture is talking about, if we're going to take a ritual, it's talking about that it is impossible for a man who have wealth to go to heaven. But that shouldn't be what Joshua was talking about here. Hallelujah. Because he himself is wealthy. You don't believe that? A man that have 12 protocol. His disciples were his protocol. If you don't get it, there were people who prevented people from touching him. Did they get that? So yeah, he was that wealthy. I mean, when he was going to buy a car, he bought a terrible one. Honda. And because the Bible says him and his disciples, they were in one accord. Honda accord. Don't leave me. Hallelujah. Are you still here? That's a joke. But actually, when he was going to buy a means of transportation, he didn't buy it. He used influence to get it. He said, go away. They ask you. Tell them that the Lord is in need of it. Come on now. So he didn't have to spend cash. He spent influence. That's some level of wealth. Man, there are levels to these things. Glory to God. Imagine you going to send someone, your roommates, go to Yadavia. Go and ask her to give you food. If she asks you, say, TY sent you. Come on now. Hallelujah. Not because you paid in advance, but your influence has grown that much that she will feel favored to honor your name. Am I communicating? Just of recent, last week, Davido put up a post that all his friends will send him at least 1 million naira. You know, some of you, your name cannot even collect party rice in your own father's birthday. Leave this place. Who is he? Tunde of them. No, all right. So, but hallelujah. So let's go to the scripture. Let's go back to verse 16 to understand what really happened in that scripture. All right, in verse 16. Media guys, please help us. Verse 16 of Matthew chapter 19. And Bible begins to say, can we read together? Are we there? Want to get everybody? And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? Pause. Wrong question to the wrong man. You don't do good things to inherit the kingdom of God. Am I communicating? All right, then you have to understand why Jesus had to give the answer he gave. Read that again. Want to go? Verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? Verse 17. Only sisters, read verse 17, sisters. And he said, Why callest thou me good? There is one good, but one. Verse 18, the brothers only.
And said unto him, which Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness.
Pause for a while. So we are confused here. Those who understand, I'm kind of happy because second service we're teaching about salvation. So people who understand what salvation is will be disappointed with Jesus at this point. Jesus, why are you talking about keeping the law? I thought you are the Savior. If you ask them to believe in you. No, at this point, the Old Testament was still in practice. Am I communicating? So, like I told you, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is still Old Testament scriptures. Am I communicating? It is until Jesus achieved the aim of which the New Testament was instituted, that is when the New Testament came to be, and that was when he said what? It is finished. So at this point, they were still having the Feast of Passover. They were still killing animals to cleanse themselves. Don't forget, men were still going to synagogue to observe all those things they do, then my communicating. So it will be out of course for Jesus to begin to preach about what he has not done. The redemption have not come then. The redemption was still walking around the streets in the body form. Am I communicating? So what he was trying to do then was to create awareness of what he's going to do. I am he who has come to take away the sins of the world. But I have not taken away the sins of the world yet. It's still going to be a process. I'm still working towards it. Glory to God. So since this young man came with the leg of good thing, then Jesus said to him, obey the law. Obey the law. And hear me, if you obey the law then, you will still have inherited the kingdom of God. Am I communicating? Because at every dispensation, there was a way out. Let's continue. What verse are we? Verse 18. 19 now. Honor thy father and the mother, and thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. You begin to see that it was still saying the same thing that the Ten Commandments say. Am I communicating? All right. And verse 20 now. Am I right? Verse 20, everybody. And the young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What like I yet? So man, if you have kept all this law, why are you not feeling there's a need for salvation some more? That's to show that the law was never enough. So he has done all of this in his mind, but we're still feeling there's a voice to be filled. In the next verse, we'll understand better. In verse 21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that which thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. Jesus actually showed him that you say you've done everything, there is something that is lacking. In the next verse, everybody read. Verse 22. He went away sorrowfully, for he had great possessions. And that was the last time we heard about him. Hallelujah. You see, the right way to read that verse, I'll show you. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowfully, for great possessions had him. So the issue is not about what you have, it's about what have you. So the answer to the question is, there's no amount of money that a believer will have that will become sinful. But there's amount of money that we have you that is to become sinful. Let me even go better. There's kind of business that we have you that will become sinful. There's kind of relationship that we have you that it will become sinful. Am I communicating? There's some kind of food that we have you that will become sinful. There's kind of pleasure, entertainment that we have you that it will become sinful. Did you get that right now? So Jesus was never in any way against riches. He was only showing the young man that you are making a mistake by allowing these things to hinder you. Let's continue reading that scripture. In verse 22, Then Jesus said unto his disciple, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go to the eyes of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, thank God that it didn't say it is impossible. Say it is easier. Somebody say it is easier. Alright, so by now you have understood the background story of that. Am I communicating? So you have a picture that Jesus was not against wealth. It was what transpired between him and the young man that led him to prostrate such a thing. And by the way, that was not an express statement. Alright? Is it metaphor or simile? English, isn't it? Metaphor, right? Right, because literally, and a camel cannot pass through the eye of a needle. Just trying to say it will be a difficult thing based on how they have allowed their wealth to have them. Am I communicating? Yes, glory to God. All right. Now, in verse 25, when the disciples heard this, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved? Who then can be saved?" All right. And the next verse, and Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." You see, we quote this scripture anyways. In Bible hermeneutics, there's a permission to use the scripture to say like all things are possible, right, but the original text of this is on salvation. It's on salvation. With men it is impossible. In the real sense, you can't gain salvation by your good deeds. It's absolutely effort and futility. You cannot get saved by you deciding to be a good man. Because if you falter in one, you're getting all. You see, sin is not just knowing what is good to do. Not doing what is bad. That is not just how to be righteous. How to be righteous is also knowing, if you don't do what you know is good, you're getting off it too. Am I communicating? Are you getting it right now? Alright, so now Jesus said salvation is simply on him. It's on God. Hallelujah. Say my salvation is on God. It's on God 100%. Alright, so it is impossible with man, but with God all things are possible. So why all things? To be saved, to sustain you in being saved, and to give you the things that accompany salvation. All things are possible with God. So just to help people who are just joining us now, we are teaching questions that have to do with the series we've done in the first services, thus far, and the series on the need for wealth, and also what? Wisdom for finances. So the first question we had here was, is there an amount of money that a believer will have, then it becomes sinful? And the answer was simple. There's no amount of money you have that will become sinful. However, there's an amount of money that will have you that it will become sinful. Is that taken? Glory to God. Yes, absolutely.
Thank you, sir. We have a question here. And the question is, can God take away prosperity from a believer if he fails to manage it well?
Okay, hallelujah. Hallelujah. But this is a very nice question. Okay, I'm going to give you a very straight answer. You see, our God lacks the ability to do evil. Say, yes, sir. Say it again. Say, yes, sir. You see, it looks like something we've been taught that God can do. You're threatening, you see, if you don't do this, God will do this to you. No. God lacks the ability to do evil. I don't care what evidence you have in the scriptures concerning this, whether God has stripped Job of his wealth. If you check very well, we will now find out who actually did that to Job. Job actually somehow allowed that to happen. Am I communicating? So God does not in any way use any evil thing to get your attention. God is not a stalker. God is not toxic. Am I communicating? However, if you don't manage your finances well, the money itself will go. Life itself will take the money from you. I told you, money is a spirit of its own. Am I communicating? It's a spirit, that's just a system. If you do not handle money well, money will leave you. Money will leave you, simple and short. Am I communicating? Please ask that question again. Let me ask again.
Can God take away prosperity from a believer?
No, God cannot take prosperity from anybody. Not just a believer, okay? Anybody. God doesn't do evil. God doesn't do evil. All right, because if you're going to ask now, someone will be asking, how about if a person mismanages it, using it to fund terrorism? People are doing that. They're even getting more wealthy. You see, you saying, can God take prosperity from a believer? He's there asking, okay, let me make it. God can't take prosperity from anybody. If that be the case, Dubai should not be a prosperous nation. Alright? You don't believe in your God. Alright? The Mark Zuckerberg, one of the richest in the world, doesn't even believe in anything. He believes in life. Forget the life that Christ is life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. At the end of the video, Jesus wins. Are you here? So God does not. So why you ask, why such a person will ask the question is because the person still have this feeling about God, that God have the ability to do evil. In the true nature of God, God never killed anybody. Now, this might shock you, but in the Bible, we have history, stories about how God killed people. No, God didn't kill anybody. Men died. For the wages of sin is death. When we read such scripture, we think the Bible says for the wages of God is death. No, it is the wages of sin that is death. God does not pay back. Payback is not God. Payback is. Glory to God. Are you here? So God cannot take away prosperity from anybody. He acts based on the believers, and I'm answering based on everybody, because even the believers is still part of what? Everybody. Am I communicating? That you committed sin doesn't mean that God will take your wealth away from you. However, that sin you committed can take your wealth away. You didn't catch that? The sin you commit can take your wealth away. Wrong decision can take your wealth away. Greed can take your wealth away. Covetousness can take your wealth away. Not being content can take your wealth away. Lack of wisdom can take your wealth away. Cheating can take your wealth away. Hallelujah. Let me even answer one question they didn't ask now. When you don't pay tithe, God does not take your wealth away. But you are just making. Okay, when we say tithe, let me put it in a simple form. When you don't honor God with your finances, is that fine? Because it is in the platform of honor to God that we pay tithe. Do you hear that? It is not a system to guide our wealth. It's in the place where you honor God that you take out your 10%, your 20%, whatever percent you decide to give to God. All right. But the yardstick, it's telling scripture, is from 10% upwards. My communication. It is on the platform of honor that you do such a thing. And when you're doing that, there's a reward system of God covering such things. God will not allow your finances to go down when He has already known that I'm a partaker of this also. Did you get that? So you're only just simply making your business to become, you're putting your business in the hand of God, you're putting your finances in the hand of God by taking a percentage cut from that to honor God with it. So God will not send devil to devour your finances. If He does that, that means God and Satan, they're working in partnership. Am I communicating? When God wants to deal with somebody, you call His line and say, oh boy, come, I get a job for you. Destroy him. No. If your gas finishes at two midnight, number one, why are you cooking by that time? You know, some people, you know, they have some funny perceptions about this whole type thing. Right. Their car broke down. If you didn't service your car, it will break down. The Nigerian road is bad. Am I communicating? Glory to God. Do you get that? Yes, sir.
We also have the opportunity to ask questions, like Papa have said. So, we'll take a break now. Do you have anybody with a question now?
Okay. Somebody. Can we get a mic? Yes.
Never mind. You can also pen your question down. So, you just give it to another usher.
Praise God. Concerning the first questions, actually, he said, is there any amount of wealth that a believer will have that will become sinful? Papa already answered, but I want to buttress the question more, because I'm not comfortable, because I look at most of all these Jehos we have. Fine, we can't question their lifestyle, the way of wealth they live.
I can hear you, sir.
I said, I want to make a reference to most of the general vassals of churches we have now, okay, that are believers. We have seen most of them that, I'm not saying wealth is bad, but then how we use the wealth is what is bad. Because I feel like most of them have like 5 private jets, 6 private jets, and then
hold
I
on.
Just feel like...
Hold on. Connor, come here.
Okay.
Come, let me see you. No, let me just say. Go to my... Okay. First of all, before you be answering, let me talk to you. Look at me in the face. You know you're talking to me a bit. Hallelujah. Start again. Go ahead. Come on.
My question is that Papa, I don't have a question.
It's joke.
It has been answered.
It has been answered?
Yes.
How?
But I just need more buttressing on it, because I feel like most times
they have five private jets.
It's an oppression.
Their members are suffering. So their members are suffering. They have five private jets. They are building universities. Nobody can attend. Abby, I dropped my mic. I'm gonna sit down. Give it to me. Hallelujah. Okay. I'll forgive you. Just for today. So in case there's anybody in the house who still have such a thought that some GOs are buying private jets, and I'm surprised it's even coming from this church. Hallelujah. But I will answer. First of all, he says some GO have money and they're buying private jets. Some GO have money. Is this your money? It's wrong mentality for you to have an entitlement on people's money. Hear me. I was kind of shocked when he was asking that question, because I was thinking he was attacking me. Because I'm going to have private jets. Yeah, I'm going to have private jets. And it's going to come from this house. Men are going to buy me jets from this place. Am I communicating, right? You know, it would have been possible if we said such thing 2 years ago. We'll be laughing at ourselves, right? Abi? But is it impossible now? There's no possibility. There's no possibility. Okay, so now you have to understand these things. There's a reward for labor. And I want to beg everybody here, never in your life, please, there's some conversation that is above you. And such is what you went into now. Discussing about God's own servant. No, don't do that. It's not your money. However they decide to live their life, if they like, let even the assistant pastor be trekking and they're flying. If they are comfortable in that situation, it is none of your business. Alright? I would say, minding your business. Mind your business. Don't discuss. You know, the devil makes gist about pastors very sweet and palatable to the ear. That's the devil's agenda. And if you have issue with pastors having wealth, that means you are shutting your heart towards wealth. Whatever you antagonize, you cannot attract. Am I communicating? And such people who are against prosperity are people who are against Bishop Oyedepo, you know, who are against some pastor. You know, some time ago, Apostle Joseph Suleiman, God used him to do a miracle of, what do you call it again? Miracle money, right? Let's target that. And people came after him. They were not coming after the miracle, they were coming after the man whom God used to do the miracle. If that devil did the same, the world would celebrate it. And you get what I'm saying? If that the community did the same miracle, it would be a worldwide celebration. But because he came from a man who, in quote, has a questionable reputation, they now begin to attack him. So don't be in the news looking for gist about pastors. Okay, the pastor has a private jet. In fact, you are even wrong to say Bishop had five. Did he declare that? Did he come and tell you I have five private jets? If he didn't do that, then you are gossiping. And gossiping is not of God. My communication. So whatever does not profit you, doesn't add money to your bank account, doesn't defy you, should not be discussed. And such is the life of men of God. What they do with their money, it is not your money. Hallelujah. And even on campus, it is starting from here. The pastor dresses well. You are angry that the pastor wears nice stuff. You are angry. Why are you angry? You are poor in mind. It's poverty that is worrying you. Men who are wealthy in mind are even happy that their pastors are using good stuff. They are even the ones who are financing. Hear me. Those who are complaining about pastors buying jets are people who did not contribute to that buying of jets. Am I communicating? Let me go deeper. They said Bishop built a university that nobody can attend. Monsieur attend the university he built. Is he supposed to build the university for you? Federal government is supposed to do that, right? There's federal school. Go to federal school. If you can't afford that, you don't even understand. The cost of funding education is the most difficult enterprise to do. This is what you're doing in school here. You think you're in school? You're in school? I'm telling you. Some of you just, you go to your science stream, go to practical. That's your thing, not practical. You know now, you're just writing reports. One person will do, you dub. Hallelujah. You dub to the glory of God. Hallelujah. That's not practical you're doing. You don't even know what you're doing. You don't know what you, me and you know you don't know what you're doing. Just even, go. No. People do practical. You know, you do practical, you come back, you check it. You have your own lab where you work. You know, when I was doing my project for my final year project, defense, I was in Funab, and I felt like, Jesus, you know, I got to that place, I'm a graduate, when I got to that place, I discovered I knew nothing. My HOD, no, nothing. I was asking him something. I was asking him to snap the thing. I said, sir, it's what you taught us. He says, it's not this type that he learned. I said, sir, this is what you taught us. Hallelujah. So I saw what it means to do practical. I even saw that you can't do practical in hours. How can you work in hours? Reactions have to take place. I spent weeks just carrying one practical. You will end that day. So this bishop and the rest of them, me too, I will have university, if you like. Better die now. If you have people dying, that's why you will not see the glory of God. Hallelujah. So they are trying to create the real university. Nobody is a dust student. So when they are creating university, they are creating it in the system that will accommodate everybody's academic power. Am I communicating? If you judge an elephant, an antelope, and a monkey, and a fish on their ability to swim, who will carry first? On the ability to climb trees, who will carry first? On the ability to kill, who will carry first? On their weight, who will carry first? That is how a teacher should be. But now they pack all of us. Elephant, cockroach, antelope, ants. And you are the ants. Why ants? You know, let's say, let us do swimming competition. Fish, not carry first. It's a fish. Yeah, you're the best graduating student in this field. How? How now? Glory to God. That's why I said, please, first thing you have to make up your mind in. Forget that nothing they call alma mater. I would beg you, try to make money in a genuine way. Then please, conquer poverty that tells you that my children have to go to the school I went to for posterity reason. Let them go to my school and I brought them to 4 years. Some of you now make them to stay in the room you stayed in. I like history. So they come to the room, they see my daddy was here. In 2022. Huh? Send your children to private university. Send them to school abroad. If nothing happens to them, their view of life will expand. Hallelujah. My son for today is a white guy. He knows a lot. But he entered his first flight in his life. This was about 3 weeks ago. And when we were in the air, he heard me like this. He said, God is good. I say all the time. Glory to God. So his view about life changed. He says, I thought when you enter plane, the thing will be flying like, what those kind of thing, enter, it will fly. Yeah! This is not moving. I say it's moving. He says, no moving. That's one place. I say it's moving. For no, they are now to our Lagos. Yeah, how come? Say, we'll be moving. We are moving, but you don't know we're moving. Hallelujah. Did you get that right now? Glory to God. So, do you answer that question? Do you have any question, sir? A pastor can do whatever he wants with his money. Anybody can do whatever he wants with his money. Okay? Both good or bad. Okay? Settle down your heart so that you will not feel disappointed. They can do good or bad with their money. It is not your money. Make your money. Glory to God. Yes, sir. Next question.
All right. Do you have another question? Okay, for those of us that just came in, we are settling, we're having question and answer on the need for wealth and wisdom for finances. from teachings from what our Father has taught us over the weeks. So that's the question we are taking right now. All right, so we have a question over there.
We have one mic this side too. Somebody can, so you have to walk all the way.
So, my question, I don't know how to put it, but I'll put it anyhow. So, let's say there's a person that got his money through dubious means, and he was not in Christ and everything. And then, after he got the money, became very rich, he now got converted or had gave his received the life of Christ. So, is he, you know, he's already rich and he has stopped. Is he supposed to give out all what he has?
Okay.
Is he supposed to, or is he going to lose all what he has because he got it from a dubious means? Or how is he supposed to start all over again? That's just what I want to ask.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's a very powerful question. Glory to God. Okay, simple. A simple one. So this is the question of restitution. Can I use that mic?
Praise God. This is much better. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the question basically is on restitution. Is that fine? So, when we are doing restitution, okay, let me ask. The reason for the guy, the question is he supposed to return everything? Is it to end salvation or to sustain the salvation? Or for good deeds? So don't feel guilty. Okay, yeah. I will answer the question. I will try to buttress a bit so that it won't just be on finances alone. Okay. So there's a guy who was doing so many things. It must have been internet frosting, a Yahoo boy and all that. So many things that could be wrong. How to get money illegally. Then he gets saved. And it's not a demand from God that you do something after getting saved. However, it is a noble thing to do. Did you hear me? Well, it has nothing to do with salvation. Did you catch that? Some years ago, I heard a story about a guy who came from the University of Learning. Then he got saved. He went back to the school and returned his certificate and told them that he cheated his WAEC. And I love what the school did. The school collected the certificate back from him. I like the fact they didn't tell him, oh, it doesn't matter now, go. No, no. It doesn't matter. Since you don't have sense. And that's even not restitution. If you want to restitute, let me remind you. One day you're playing PS2. NEPA took light. The thunder fired that man that off that light. So since you want to do restitution, you have to look for that man that off that light. And God help you now, he's dead. I have to look for his grave. Go there and kneel down and begin to apologize. You see, that lady you broke her heart in primary 2. In first break on Monday, room 22. I know. I have to look for her. Apologize to her. That lady you slept with, you have to go and unsleep with her. Did you hear me? You have to unsleep. I'm sorry, because if you steal money from somebody, how do you restitute? You give back the money, right? I have to go and sleep. So don't think about it. Am I making sense? So it's actually the devil who's trying to install some things in your mind. Anybody who got saved and feeling the need to go and begin to do some things is a pointer that you've not fully understood what Christ has done. However, there could be a strong prompting of the Holy Spirit, which most times happens when God is about to send you on an errand. Am I communicating? when God tells you, go and say sorry to this person. You should. Don't even say because oh, I won't feel guilty conscience. Let me paint the picture to you. If your roommate stole your school fees, how do you know? You mistakenly mounted the camera in your room. And that day, he came back. You didn't find your school fees anymore. You searched everywhere. Then you stumbled to your camera that it was on, ever recording. He now played it. He showed him and he stole the money. But he didn't want to show him the stuff. Okay? And this guy was helping you to look for the money, was swearing for the person who stole the money. Even said it's no better for the person's father. And his father is dead. Hallelujah. So it doesn't, if it's not better for the person's father, it doesn't concern him. Glory to God. And he was swearing, you know, said, let's go to Babalawo and kill the person. And you're shocked. If someone ever lied to you and you know the person is lying, and how the person is lying is even more dangerous than the lie the person lied. You look at the person. Then all of a sudden he just took it all in. Then 2 weeks passed. Then this guy, you saw him balling with your money. Bought shawarma for the first time. Was giving his girlfriend a treat. Okay. Now, then he struggled to pay the fee. Then 3 weeks down the line, this guy became born again. No, he told you he became born again. No, he didn't even tell you. Just at night, he was praying in the Holy Ghost. Akayabayaba, no subanani. He's actually born again, no. He got saved. He came to Christ's house. And he hears God's word. And he got saved. Then in the morning, at night, he was praying. You are born again. But his prayer is annoying to you. It's abomination to your ears. Akayaya. And you know, they can overdo. Sapalaba, ekeneba, eyegega, egega, iskebe, iskaba, iskono. What's that? Otoing your tongues. Going up for evangelism. He came back one day and said, my brother, I want so in Christ. You know, I tell you, brother, I think I have a burden. There's a burden. There's a fire of the Holy Ghost burning inside of me. Fire of God. I'll be fired to steal more. There's nothing he's saying or doing that will be pleasing to your eyes. Am I communicating? Why? Because he has erred in the past. Am I communicating? Does that make him to be an unbeliever? Will he go to heaven? He's in heaven. Now you the verse. You know, in heaven, there might be fight though. We'll stone people in book in heaven. You don't understand? We'll be singing hallelujah. You mess up, we'll stone you in book. So when you get there, we see your roommate that's a bad guy in heaven. People versing, so you live a life anyhow on earth. You enter. Father, I believe that GRU in heaven, God's reserved area for people like us who are serving God. Hallelujah. But he's saved. The young man is saved. Who stole? But do you know that just simply, I'm sorry, would have formed a formidable partnership for these two roommates to do mighty for Christ? Do you know that if your peers discredit you, it affects even the gospel in your mouth? If you that one, no, leave him or he can't make a phone up and down. You'll begin to doubt the gospel you preach. But when your mate is saying, this one, the firebrand. However, people endorsement does not stop your salvation. But it can actually enhance or limit what you can do with the gospel. Am I communicating? Especially on this earth realm. Glory to God. Do you get that? So, if the guy is a notorious person in the community, I don't know, I'm not making a recommendation. Alright? But if the person that knows that the people whom he has duped are the same people who he's going to go preach to, wisdom says, go and apologize. I'm not saying you can't return all the money. I'm not saying you can't put yourself in EFCC. Just come and take the house you have. Okay? No, that is not. God is not an occultic man. He's only an occultic man that when he says, I'm no more doing again, they will take everything he had. Hallelujah. But if that be the case, an unbeliever who acquired his wealth, any means, when he gets saved, do we ask him to go and return those things? He's an unbeliever. So don't classify sin. Did you hear that? Don't classify sin. Just because the guy did a fraud, hush puppy, you know, or he sold illicit drugs, they're all seen as when you tell a lie. By communicating, when you rob a bank, you're all sin. It is only in the eyes of man and in the eyes of the government that sins are not equal. But before God, all sins are equal. My communicating. Now, I want to say something to you. Wisdom is here. There are things you should allow to slip. Did you hear me? If you feel the need to do restitution, that's why you have pastors. You're not confessing to your pastor. You're discussing your heart issues with your pastor. I've had people come meet me and tell me some certain things. I said, don't let, this is the last time we talk about this. No woman means you hear about it again. Just between me and you. No woman to hear about this again. That's what the pastor does for you. Did you hear it? Because even the heart of a pastor is configured in a way that it absorbs things. No matter what you tell me, I don't remember it. For you, it's all gone. I'm not getting on Christ. Am I communicating? If you had a sister reached out to me in church and told me on how she's having this fear of a sudden about the relationship we have with the boyfriend, that they are serious now, the two families have known about each other, and she says she's scared that, well, maybe the guy will find out about something she did while in boarding school and all that. So he told me about it, she told me about it, and I said, now please, don't be the one to ever say this to him. If you give me permission, I will do so. But the way I would say it to him will be in a better way than you going and say, baby, I don't know if you can still take me. You're already telling him you have option. You're already telling him that I'm too dirty. Even if he takes you, he will take you as a management. And if he was never cheating on you before, that might be the day he begins to cheat on you. Mother, I love you, have for you. Am I communicating? That's why it's not just about having a pastor. It's about being pastored. You should be pastored. And I said to you again, make sure that whoever you're dating, you are in the same local assembly. But the reason why I can make that intervention is because the guy is my son and she's my daughter. I know how to put it to him. If I want to have a man, I'll say, for example, I say, Jerry, are you a man? You say, yes. I say, are you sure you're a man? I say, yes. This is your babe. Do you love her? I say, yes. Well, how many percent do you love her? I say, 100. I say, that's not love enough. I need to be 200. So what's the worst thing that can happen for you to leave your babe? Say, she cheated on me. I say, you're not a man. You're not grown yet. You're still a boy. But this boy is even OB. So I'm building him up of a sudden in the wake of trying to impress him. Say, sir, nothing. Mudiaka, I stand fit. I say, are you sure you stand fit? Just imagine this. Just imagine someone coming now that your girlfriend is doing something like that. What will be your response? Somebody who has been trained by the good shepherd. His faith has been built. So that what I would say to him, if you'll be the one to come meet a girl. I say, baby, is it this small thing you're talking about? Me that's a liar. Let them come. Baby, I will die for you. Anybody that wants to put a son in this thing will put them a yonder. Glory to God. So, better don't go do restitution and kill yourself. If you have money and want to go and restitute, maybe you're a fraudster before. Come. God sent me to collect the money on your behalf for the gospel's sake. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the key thing, don't just have a pastor. Be pastor. Alright? Hallelujah. Do you answer your question? No question. Yeah. Next question, please. Just two more, then we'll end this. If not gone for wisdom for finances, nobody's asking on that. Ask. Yes. Oba. Are you here, Oba? Oba, Oba. Hey, Oba, now celebrating. Yeah.
Oh, okay, sir. Sorry, my voice.
Your shirt is fine.
Okay, there's a.
Your shirt is fine.
Thank you, sir.
I like your specs. You're looking dope, man. Hallelujah. Calm down. Just absorb it first. Take it in.
All right, sir. Okay. There's something I've been trying to get, and this is the issue of a partnership when it comes to business.
Okay.
Wise, because I hardly find it difficult to partner with someone that is not in my faith, like someone outside. So I want to know, is it a good feeling? Because I feel connected more to believers than outsiders.
Let me get it. Outsiders, you mean?
Like the Muslims and...
Okay. You mean unbelievers?
Unbelievers.
Right? Okay, that's fine. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. A good question. I will answer with all caution. First of all, money is not born again. Business is not Christocentric. Am I communicating? However, men who are born again do business. So it boils down on your personality. But tell you, if you want to do business, I said it without caution. If you want to do business and succeed in it, I'm going to say something, but you might sound somehow. Like, keep your religion's ambiguity on the low. Am I communicating? I'm not saying that you should put God out of the equation. Put your religious ambiguity below. I'm not saying you should not go to do business or if you not meet in a mosque and begin to do ablution for business sake. Am I communicating? But don't put it in the front. Most business, my businesses have partners who are Muslims. Okay? And would transact business. And somehow, I respect their faith. But we'll have meetings and we'll have to pray. We'll pray. Respecting their faith doesn't mean we don't pray for we'll have meetings. I respect the faith that at that point, I don't begin to preach Christ to them. But there's a wisdom in it. You can be the Christ that will be preached to them. In that room of the conference, the way you drop your own idea, be so amazing to them that they'll be asking you, how do you come up with this? Say, Jesus. How were you able to convince this client, man, of the Holy Ghost? Am I preaching already? How come when we had a dip, you are not shaking the joy of the Holy Ghost? Am I preaching already? So how come when this man messed up the deal, you were not even angry? Long suffering. At the point, they might not tell you, but they'll begin to model you. They become easy for you to now, one day, out of the business scene, say, bro, what's up? No, there's this thing I want to tell you, just out of regard and respect I have for you. It's about Jesus. Did you hear me? When you have such a mindset that says, I can't do business with this person, if I were saying, if I am right, you're trying to be modest by not even bringing it home, you might not even be comfortable. Some people are not comfortable to do business with people who are not in the great cycle. Some people say, I can't do business without, I can't partnership if it's not my church member. Personally, me, I don't do partnership with my church members or even pastors. If we have religious affiliation, me and a partner, because man, we have to go later. If you mess up with my deal, I'm gonna sue your grandfather, I'm gonna sue your generation. Hallelujah! And thank God I don't even represent what I do. I have a legal team that do that. I won't be there. If you do anyhow, you see anyhow, glory to God. I had behind the scene. By the way, I have some of our partners in the house. Please, can you just leave them? Can you do your face? All right. Glory to God. All right. Great man. Hallelujah. Have you seen him? I forgot. Thank you, sir. They came all the way from Lagos to have a meeting with me. We are building something. And they are mighty men. Great men. Great. I celebrate you, sir. Thank you, sir. So, sir, you heard us, Abby? At the zoo. Thank you, Father. So, business. I'm trying to be careful. Business is business. But the man who is in the business is born again. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Or try to be careful, but business is business. If you do business, they do business. I did something last week. I entered into a partnership with somebody, a kind of likely partnership. And when we're having a meeting, in fact, when I met him, I called my price high. Me, that's very gentle. If he doesn't give me money for that thing, I will still give it to him. But I said, let me even try this thing, Jerry. Let me have strong head, coconut. I said, I don't agree. If you're not paying it, leave it. But the next day, I increase it. It's 100K. If you're not paying it, leave it. They don't have option. They paid for it. We're going to get one particular kind of generator. I said, no, it's 10K every year that is needed. If you don't want it, leave it. And they had no option. They had to get it. So I saw that. I was trying to see how committed can he be in this stuff. And we're good to go. Am I communicating? Have a good heart. Very soft. All right, very soft. But business, we should do business. The aim of business is what? Is to profit. To make profit. You get that? So you can do business with anybody, provided you flow. But don't joke with the Spirit of God inside of you. If the Spirit of God said no, don't ever venture into it. I told you guys a story last 2 weeks, Abby. I was supposed to go into one investment stuff with some of my guys. And now, the Spirit of God just said no. Can you hear that? So whether it's even a believer in church, an unbeliever, or anybody, or even your father, the Holy Ghost says no. Please, don't say yes. Is that taken by you? One more question, then we end it. All right. So my name. Are you getting blessed already?
My question is kind of, okay, so I'm this kind of person that I dream a lot, like a lot. So there was a particular time, I can't remember if I was praying for my financial status in or whatever, I can't remember. But I shall know that I had a dream that, like, the thing just appeared. I can't remember if I was told or maybe somebody told me or something that you have money, but you have to work really hard and sweat. So for me, I'm like, I don't think this dream, okay, fine, is good, though, but then at the other side is somehow. So I want to now ask that, is this dream from God or from the devil? Because I feel it's somehow.
Glory to God. Glory to God. So, it's not like you don't like this dream more. But that place of sweat. So, he wants to make you without sweating. Okay. First of all, let me just help you. There's nothing wrong in sweating to make money. Did you hear me? In fact, we should sweat to make money. Am I not sweating now? I've not made money. Hallelujah. So, first of all, there's nothing wrong to sweat to make money. Now, but I am concerned just as you are. Focus here. I'm as concerned just as you are. You see, that thing that triggers a question in your heart when you have a dream that gives you uncertainty that troubles your peace of mind is what you'll be dealing with. Not necessarily about the dream. You get that? You get what I'm trying to say, right? So she's having an issue, wanting to know, is this even from God or from Satan? If it's from God, you won't have issue recognizing it. But I also want to be sure that you are not the one who is having issue with working and sweating. Probably you just want to have money. You are like a daydreamer like me. We used to dream sometimes that I'll just be going on the road. One big bag will just fall, hit me on my shoulder. I have a reason why I say so. So I'll have a justification for carrying the bag. The thing don't hit me, has injured me. I have to take the bag as souvenir. And I open it full of pounds sterling. You know that money that have surname, pounds sterling. carriage, home, naira, nonsense, nickname, glory to God. So you take money home and it's all good. So I hope you're not just having such a mindset of having to be wealthy without putting your own participatory effort into it. God does not throw money down from heaven. God gives you idea. God causes men to bless you. God gives you idea to mess, to get work. God gives you work. Did you hear that? God gave you work. God, after God created Adam, he gave him a work. It was through his work that he began to what? Make ends meet by communicating. However, be careful when you begin to have funny people come to you. This is not even a dream now. Someone comes to you and tell you, you're a great person, but you will suffer. Tell the person you will not suffer. Yes, say it right back to the person. That's the wrong confession, right? I will not suffer. If you saw a crooked way, don't declare it to me. You could just tell me, you're going to prosper. We need to pray that the road should be easy. Is that not a better way to say it? Why you tell me you will suffer? If I'm not meant to suffer, if you tell me you will suffer, if I take it, you begin to suffer. Someone sees you and says, you will make it too. But you will die young. Say, no. It's not me. But you know, some people, appointment have been booked for death for them in advance. Say, I see you making it on time. We will come against untimely death. Is that not a better way to say it? On that page, you just have strength inside of you. Faith is stirred up inside of you. So even go out there and begin to talk against sudden death. Do you get what I'm saying now? Glory to God. So I want to say to you now, you will make money and you will not sweat in the name of Jesus. Right. Because, you know, if there's AC here, I won't sweat. Don't go and be pushing trucks. This I will make money. So this is where I will make money. So as I'm pushing and sweating, I will make money. You will die poor. Hallelujah. So, okay. Sorry, please. Okay. And I want to answer the first question I answered again. What recitation? You know, somebody might be thinking that, but Zacchaeus in the scriptures, Jesus asked him to restitute all the people he has defrauded. You hear that a bit? No, Jesus didn't ask him to. In Luke chapter 19, Luke 19, Luke 19, get over there, please. Luke chapter 19. We're going to start from verse 1. Is that fine? Let's see verse 1. What to give everybody? You have an exam coming soon. Read like people are preparing for exam. I know you're not prepared. Want to go? Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Continue. Make haste, come down, for today we are by at your house. Next verse. Next verse. Continue. Pause. Have Jesus preached to him? But he was just, yes, he has preached to him, but not with words. Just ask him to come today and abide in your house. He was a notorious guy, a tax collector, who even dubiously takes things from people. Just say to him, come down today, I'll be with you in your house. I'm going to wine and dine in your house. And he made this and came down. That was a compelling force. So it is not even all the time you preach with words. Am I communicating? Do you learn how to break the ice by your deeds sometimes? And just that action of his, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house." It didn't mean that he got born again. Jesus was talking about him. He is the salvation. And for him believing is a good go. So Jesus never commanded Zacchaeus to do restitution. Zacchaeus did that on his own. In fact, it was even like a fanfare. Like, I can't be related to Jesus Christ. I'm disdaining him with my bad reputation. Did you get that? Just everybody's already murmuring that, how come he's eating in my house? Let him, just let it be that because he came to my house, I became a good man. So Jesus, because of this, you did half of my goods I give to the poor. If I've taken anything by any man by false accusation, I restore him. Did you hear that? You won't even say it was Holy Ghost inspired. So, if you have gotten money in an illegal means and you are a born again Christian, if you feel strongly that you restoring things is going to cause the gospel to spread better, please do. If you also feel that giving the money to the enhancement of the kingdom is good, please bring it on. If you feel like giving the money to me, I will take it. Hallelujah. The word of the Gentiles are ours. Are you still here? You get that scripture right now. Are you blessed this morning? Are you blessed this morning? Glory to God. Let's be on our feet and separate God and let's appreciate.
We hope you've been blessed by God's word. To get more of our ministry materials, visit our website www.kcwilliamsministry.org. Kindly follow us on all social media platforms at I Am Christ House, and also follow our man of God on all social media platforms at KC Williams NG. Remain blessed.